Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we could be back again together tonight. Even though we're missing some, Lord, we pray that your hand of mercy will be on them, Lord, and keep them while they're working or help them to feel better, Lord, while they're sick and the things that each one is going through. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us tonight to dig down in this word, Lord, and be like the honey on the beard of the prophet. Lord, just pour it out upon us, Lord, that we might know you in a closer walk, Lord, in the hour that we're living. Lord, I think we're living way below our privileges, Lord. And may we walk boldly into this word, Lord, that you've given us, that you've died to give us, Lord. And may we accept it with all our heart. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Brother Goomba did a good job singing, I think. So appreciate it, brother. And appreciate those words, too. And appreciate each one that's made it tonight. See, Sister Esther didn't make it. But Lord knows what's going on there, and he'll be with her. And I decided I was going to go back into Anointed Ones at the end time, and we are. But I wanted to pull in this wisdom versus faith, and it talks so much about the one eternal life. There's one eternal life. There's only ever been one eternal life. That eternal life has always been. It's not going to get bigger or more of it. There's not going to be less of it. There's just going to be that eternal life. And we're a part of that eternal life. And knowing how we're a part of that eternal life, it matters. I mean, if it mattered to God that he said to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that that name was going to be Jesus, then baptizing in those titles was not okay. And so everything that the prophet told us matters. And so we need to pay attention to it. And it needs to be our meat, as Brother Brown said. It's our meat. It's something that we have to have. There's something in us that just has to have it and desires it. And so I thought we would step back in this message, wisdom versus faith. And let's see what he says here about eternal life for a little bit. It's very interesting how he brings about these two sources of life when we know there's only one. So he's going to explain that. But there's only two sources that we can draw our life from. And we know Brother Bram said all life comes from God. So what is he talking about? And one of them is wisdom. And the other one is faith. So one we can have faith for. And the other one we get our life from just being wise. And that's not God's wisdom. Because faith is God's wisdom. This kind of wisdom is Satan's wisdom. And if we think that wisdom, think what wisdom produces. So if you draw in Satan's wisdom, think about what does it produce. And then what does faith produce? If we draw in faith, we just trust God, what does that produce? And the scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God doesn't work with wisdom at all. Don't miss that, okay? Because it's going to become very important later on. Because we know that Brother Branham said that that God chose the heart and Satan chose the mind. And so if God chose the heart, he chose faith. And he doesn't work any other way. He chooses faith, and Satan chose wisdom. And we find that out because we see in the garden, that's exactly what Satan started doing. He started talking Eve out of faith, out of just believing what God told her. And he started giving her the wisdom of it. And she didn't realize it, but that was another life. Actually, it was a perverted life. It was death that was coming to her. But those two sources, we're going to back this morning. We're going back this morning and pick them up from the Sunday school lesson and bring them out of the Bible and show what they are. Those two ways of getting life or living life. And show what they are and what they're going to do and what they have done. So you think about this. God put Adam in the garden and he put him under a covenant that was based on what Adam would do. Adam was going to have to produce his faith. Adam was going to have to do it. God wasn't going to give him his faith. Adam was going to have to produce his own faith. And Brother Branham said that it could not have been eternal. Even though he put him in the garden and he gave him this covenant, it was not eternal because it was based on what Adam would do and not based on what God would do. See, there's still only one life, and that's God's life. And there's only one way to it. Brother Ram said in the Church Ages book that God decided that he was going to share life with man, and he was going to do it one way. And that way was through his Son. And we realize that when his Son was spoken to existence, we were in his Son. Brother Ram said when he went to the cross, we were in him then. We were in the Son then. And that was our life there in him. And so let's look at these two here of faith and wisdom. Is there a way to take wisdom and get to this life that God was going to share with man? Or is the only way to that life is through faith? Let's look at that. Now, faith and wisdom, now, to begin with, we'll notice that in Genesis, the first chapter, we'll find that faith was introduced and wisdom was introduced. And what did Brother Brown say Genesis was? It's the seed chapter. It's where it's called Genesis, the beginning. So it's where everything starts. And this is where faith is introduced. And this is where wisdom's introduced. And we know the story of how that happened. And today, them two sources is still introduced to the human race. Those two sources of one faith and one wisdom is still being introduced to people nowadays. We find out that God was the author of faith. So see, there's another reason God's not going to use wisdom. He's not going to use it. He's going to use faith. Okay? If he used wisdom, then some of us would have a greater relationship with him than others because some's a little smarter or at this or that or whatever. God wasn't basing it on that. He was basing it on faith. And that faith is something that was given to us. It was predestination. We were predestinated in the Son. And so when Adam was standing there in the garden, the only way for him to get to this life was to have that faith that God was the author of. And he was under a covenant that was going to bring it, but not the way everybody thought. See, he had to fall under that covenant so God could introduce the eternal covenant and bring it. Now, I've talked about this in other ways, but let's just kind of refresh as we go. We find out that God was the author of faith to believe. He was the author of that. That you believe, and you don't know why you believe, but you just believe. Something pulls you. It's not something that you reason out and decide, oh, that sounds right. It's not that. It's something else. You think about that little woman at the well. That's an example of faith. She wasn't reasoning nothing. And how in the world, this woman didn't know him from nobody. He just walked up to her when he wasn't even supposed to be there during the day, because this is when the time the women came that weren't nice women. And here he was asking her for a drink of water. And you think about that. Yet in the midst of all that, and all that she was and everything that took place, that faith still held. It still was there because God had predestinated faith in her. It had already been decided. So God is the author of faith. He's the author of our predestination to believe, for people to believe and to trust his word. God is the author of that. And Satan is the author of wisdom, trying to get people to accept his wisdom. Not just to believe what God said, but to figure things out. And pull them away from the faith. Get them to trust their wisdom over their faith. And brother, this happens all the time. Yeah, you can see it in the message. You can see it in the Bible churches and things like that, where they think they can reason out what God said. And then the prophet comes along and he don't use any of that reasoning. He goes and gets types and pulls stories out. And you think, how in the world? Nobody would have saw that without God Almighty. There's no way. Because wisdom can't touch it. Wisdom can't touch that. Wisdom will have 100 paths through that scripture and figure out 100 different ways they think it is. And none of them are right. Everything is based on faith when you find God. So those are the two sources, though. People still, and all of us did at one time. That's the way we lived. We find it so strange that Genesis, the seed chapter, starts off that way. It starts off introducing these two seeds. And we see that all things that we have today originally began in Genesis. So those two seeds, those two ways of living life have came all the way down. And we still got them today, Brother Bram says. Because the word Genesis means the beginning. Now listen real close now. Watch what he's saying. The beginning. In the beginning was these two things introduced. And if we see these things that were today the way they are, they had a beginning. They had to have a beginning somewhere. You'll have to chase everything back to a beginning. See? And here's a little thought for you. So now he's thinking. He's getting us to think about this. So if this is the seed chapter, and we're looking at two ways to draw life, then he's saying, where did these begin? And did they begin? We know Satan's wisdom, Brother Branham said, is a perversion. So it had to begin. There's no way for it to not be a beginning. But God's faith was predestination. It's something he always knew, and it never had a beginning. See? And that's our life. What God always knew is our life. And, you know, God, I've tried to talk about this before, but if I am a gardener, and I know Brother TV, he used to, every January, he had a pile of these seed catalogs that would come piling in. And he would have a good old time sitting down, going through them and picking out the seeds. And most of the time, he'd pick out the same ones he did last year. But every once in a while, he'd pick out one a little different. But in his mind, he had in his mind what these were going to look like when he planted them. He had in his mind where he wanted to put them, how he wanted to line them up, how he was going to take the tomatoes and string them up and stuff. He had that in his mind. But now he didn't even have a seed to plant. But he had it in his mind that he was going to do these things. And he would order them off. And when he'd get the seeds in, he'd go out there, dig a spot, line them up. I seen him take a string and line them up just right. And so what was he was thinking about, the thing that he was really wanting to do, he had a real desire to do this. And you could tell it when you looked at his garden. He really enjoyed it and he really looked forward to doing it. And Sister Inez would always say, he's always been a good provider, she said. And he would. The garden was full. But what I'm trying to say is that those things that he wanted to do that we started to see appear in his garden, the straight rows of tomatoes and cucumbers and whatever started with a thought with him sitting in his recliner in there. And so he really wanted to do it. Even when he got old, 90-something years old, he would still get up. He'd get out there when he just had to take a minute or two just to get on the lawnmower and back off. But there was something in him. He still wanted to do it. He still wanted to make it happen, you know. And so he'd get out there, and not the lawnmower, but the tractor to do stuff in. Get out there with that tiller that he stood up with. And so his desire, along with his thoughts of what he wanted to do, started to bring those things to pass. And that is what God lets us see, that God, like us, has thoughts. Except his are eternal. And he don't change his mind. And he don't turn around and think, oh, Brother Branham said he can't think, oh, of a better way of doing it. Because if he did, he didn't do it right the first time. And so God, Brother Ram said, had these desires. These were his desires. Because he said Jesus, he said he thought of himself as being a man. And it translated him down to be Jesus Christ. Think about that. Brother TV thought of making tomato rows and cucumbers. And it translated into tomato rows and cucumbers out in the yard. But God thought of himself as a man being the Savior. And it translated him down to a man going up the hill Calvary one time. Brother Bram said, the blood so thick on his clothes, it was slapping against his leg as he went up the hill. That was God's thought. And that was God's desire to do that, to show us how he cared about us. And when we read these things, they're living things. They're real. And because God chose to do these things for us, and we're a part of him. We're a part of him. Brother Ram said that the fullness of the Godhead bodily was poured into Jesus Christ. And all that was in Christ is poured into his bride. So you got all the same traits that your Savior's got. All the same traits that God's got. Brother Branham, didn't he call us Messiahs? Didn't he do that? He said, you're not the whole ocean, but a teaspoon of the ocean still got the whole ocean in it. You know, all the different parts of it. So it makes us really small sometimes to think that God would want to have anything to do with us, you know. But he made us, and he intended to do something great with his creation. He intended to express himself. And when Brother TB got done with that garden, we could see an expression of TB. That was a lot of effort and a lot of work, even when he was getting older and still had to mess with the tools, still had to get out there when it was hot and all those things. It was an effort for him to do it. It was not easy. So here's a little thought for you. Anything that has a beginning has an ending. So in God's mind, Brother Ram said, when he thought of you, he had never not thought of you. He'd always thought of you. It's hard to believe that God always had me in his mind. Always had you in his mind. Dwelling upon you. Thinking about you. Knowing exactly what you was going to be like. Knowing exactly what he was going to express in his children. Each one of them. And how he was going to express it in each one of them. And the dynamic that would be between each one of them, everything else. It's always been there. He's always knew it. And so everything had a beginning, has an ending. But you didn't have one, see? Because you didn't necessarily start when you become created. You were already in God's mind, see? Everything that had a beginning has an ending. But it's the things that do not have a beginning that doesn't end. The only thing that's eternal, the things that don't end. Therefore, I'd like to ask the question, how could we ever make sense of the word of the eternal sonship of God? Now this, brother, this is so good right here. And if we don't get nowhere else except past this paragraph right here tonight, I'll be happy. Because I want you to get what he's saying right here, because it's so good. And the Lord help me to do it, to just let him do it. The eternal sonship of God. So what he's saying is, there's no way that me and Jake, if I was God and Jake was my son, that we could always exist that way. Because Jake come from me. He had to have a beginning. So when he's talking about a son, he's not talking about that kind of son. You see what he's saying? You can't have eternal sonship. And that's what the Catholics believe. They believe that God always existed as a son and always existed as a father. And how could we ever make sense out of the word of the eternal sonship of God? If he was a son, he had a beginning. See, he's going to kill both sides of wisdom right here. He's slaughtering it. Actually, if God will just break it to our hearts. If you have a son, because Brother Brown told us, he says, not one like your finger. Not one like your finger. If he was a son, he had a beginning. If he was an eternal son, how could it be a son and be eternal? See? So neither one of those works. See, if he had a son come from me, him like Jake, come from me. Jake's independent of me. Jake goes and does whatever he wants. Goes and does this, goes and does that. He has a wife and children and family and job. He does all. But our son, our Messiah, didn't do that. He was not independent of God. He was an extension of God. See, and so he's telling us that both those ideas of a son, whether one existed eternally or one actually was born from God, like we think a son's born from God, both those ideas are wrong, he's saying. And not only does he says it here, but he says it all through the message. I sent y'all a quote out into the fellowship group a while back where Brother Ram said that he couldn't send Billy Paul to pay for something. And if he made a law, if Brother Branham made a law about something, and then somebody broke the law, he couldn't send Billy Paul to pay for it and be just. He said he would have to come himself. So that tells us so much about the son that he's talking about. It also tells us about eternity. If he was an eternal son, how could he be a son and be eternal? For a son is a product of something. But if he was, could not be an eternal son. There's no such a thing. Eternal son of God. Because if he never had a beginning, then he cannot be nothing but eternal. And so how can you label him a son? That's what he's saying. But if he had a beginning, he was a son. He had a beginning, so he cannot be an eternal son. So both these lines of wisdom are completely wrong. So then he stops and tells us the truth. It's the eternal God manifested in a son.
Amen.
And brothers, that one statement, you know, what's the word? Permeates, flows, goes through the entire message everywhere. That statement right there. That right there is the key to the whole message right there. It was the eternal God manifested in a son. Uh-huh. See? Eternal God. Because God is the only thing that's eternal. See? And so if he wanted to pay the price, he couldn't have a Jake. He couldn't have a Billy Paul. He had to be the Jake and be the Billy Paul himself. You see? That's the difference. And where does that put you? Where does that put us? The sons and daughters of God, wherever they are in this world, where does that put us? Where does that place us and position us? Because God said that when he become the son, we were in him. Brother Bram said when he looked down on that son, he saw us too. We were there too. That's the most incredible thing there is in the message, I believe.
other than Jesus praying that we could be one, which is exactly what this is about. Jesus, remember we talked in the oneness message there early where Brother Bram said that he prayed that we could be one with Jesus as he and Jesus, I mean God, as he could, we could be one with God as he and God were one. And he's telling us how he and God are one. And it's, it was the eternal God manifested in a son. See, eternal God. Because God is the only thing that's eternal. So if he does one son that way, every son and daughter he does has to come that way. Except we come through Christ. And the only way that we can ever live is because we have eternal life. This body dies, all of our parts die. But the part that's eternal is God. You see? The part that's eternal is God. And that part that was eternal was not a soul, it was not a spirit, and it was not a body. All three of those are man. Those are all creation. Those are all God manifesting himself as that son. And we'll get to that in just a minute. I know that's a big statement. I'm sure that might cause some controversy, but it's okay. The word is the most lovely thing there is in this world. But the part that's eternal is God and cannot die. Now the word, the Bible, is eternal. Now he's going to back up what I just said, but he's going to do it with the word instead of with a human creation of some sort. Now the word, the Bible, is eternal. The Bible is eternal. Now how is that? Because it's God in word form. Why does that make it eternal? Because it's the eternal in just another form. It is the eternal in another form. You remember how many times it says in the message, Brother Bram talks about time fading into eternity. What is he talking about? He's talking about the washing of the water of the word that separates us from time. It separates us from everything that's unlike God, and we become like God. We come away from time, which is, that's what sin is. Sin has a timer on it. The minute Satan turned against God, he had a timer on him. It was that God knew exactly when that was going to happen, and he knew exactly when he was going to destroy him. He had a beginning, and he has an end. Because it is God in word form. And what was, and what did he say, Brother Branham say the pillar of fire was? That was God in another form. What did he say the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost was? God in another form. I can get you quotes for all those if you want them. And what was in God, in his thoughts, before there was any spoken word, it was God, you see. Before there was any spoken word, before God was ever in the form of word, that was still there. So it don't have a beginning. Even though God made another form, expressed himself in a form, it doesn't have a new beginning. It was God. Therefore, being predestinated, we who are, saying we, trusting I'm along with you, that was predestinated, was the things that was with God in eternity. So our predestination was with God. You see that? And how many, I read a quote here just a few services back. What did Brother Branham say that when you're born again and you turn away from this world? And he said it brings this, our humanness into subjection to his word, all of them. Our soul tells the spirit what to do, and the spirit tells the body what to do, and it carries it out. Brother Ram said that comes from the new birth. And the thing that's doing that, he said, is when that spirit comes and quickens this predestination, the thing that was in God. And we've talked about those two, the feminine and the masculine, coming together. And that's what that is. It produces a son that has eternal life. That was predestinated, was the things that was in God in eternity. So our predestination is what's there in eternity. Remember what we said, that woman in that shape like she was at the well. But the word still went past all that and struck her predestination. See, God's always been bringing that predestination. No matter how bad the fall was, what was the first thing that happened in the fall? The first thing he done when Adam went and hid in the bushes because he was afraid. God went and killed those animals and went and put those skin on him. He was bringing that. See, that's the way he was going to bring that predestination out of Adam. And he was typing it already. He was already, Brother Bram said, when he done that, he had some sort of fellowship with Adam again. And he began to bring us back to where we were supposed to be. And then if you're a born again child of God, you are, and got the Holy Spirit in you, you are the manifestation of God's spoken word before it was a word. You catch that? He said the predestination was what was in him. That was the things that was eternal in him. See, what God thought about us, what he was going to bring us to be. And he said, if you have the Holy Ghost, if you're born again, then you're the manifestation. If you're born again, you're the manifestation of God's spoken word before it was a word. It was to be a thought before it can be. It has to be a thought before it can be a word. A word is a spoken thought. And you think about our example with Brother TB again. So when he finally got out there and was growing that garden and we could see it, we could see what was in his mind, see, before he ever started. Now we could see it there in front of us. And God done the same thing, except he plants with human beings. He don't plant with necessarily with seeds. I guess he does that too in the whole earth and everything else. But to get my example across, my poor example, but I hope you can catch what I'm saying. And the word is a spoken thought. And the thoughts was in God. And then we were in God in eternity. And we were spoken into existence by the word. So when he spoke the word into existence, that was us coming into existence right then. And we were in Christ. The word is Christ. His word is Jesus. So when they spoke Jesus, the Logos, into existence, we were in there then. He spoke us right along with him. Oh, by what? Word. He spoke us into existence by word. This word, God's word. Now God, he's going back to faith, is the author of faith. And Satan is the author of wisdom. So if Brother TB got his seeds in, let's just compare the seeds that he got in from the seed place, from the spoken word. Since Brother TB couldn't bring things into existence, he ordered the seeds and got them. Because he had thought about ordering these seeds. And so he got them in. And so now he's got these seeds. And now what if he don't plant them right? What if he goes and plants them where they ain't going to grow? What if he don't water them? What if he thinks that it needs more sun when it needs less sun? Or anything that will keep it. What if somehow or another his reasoning makes him do something wrong with these seeds? It's going to malform something. It'll be a mess. Have you ever seen something try to grow? I've seen these things try to grow where there's almost no dirt. And I see roots running across the rocks and trying to get down into the dirt in the crevices and stuff and still grow. It's still trying to do it, but it's malformed. It won't get as tall. It'll get all crooked. It can be pushed over real easy. And that's what Satan tries to do when God plants a seed. Satan tries to feed people wisdom and how to do it better. And he ends up making a mess. And that's how we come to be. That's how we live every day now. Until we're born again, we live by that wisdom. God is the author of faith and Satan is the author of wisdom. For God gave his first children his word and told them they must believe. Amen. Now, he's not going to change that. Even after the fall, they still got to. But now they're in real trouble because now they've fallen from what they were. Now they can't. And told them they must believe.
this, and put death, separation, punishment, if they fail to believe it. So let's move over into the Church Ages book. And I just wanted to pull this one to let you see that he carried it all the way into 65. People talk about Jesus being the eternal Son of God. Now, isn't that a contradiction? Who ever heard of a son being eternal? Now, this is one of probably 20 times he attacks this doctrine. So he don't like it. And so God doesn't like it. Now, isn't that a contradiction? Who ever heard of a son being eternal? Sons have beginnings. So what does that make us? What kind of son are we? Because we don't have a beginning if we're a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. We're the same thing as Jesus, the manifested Word of God. But that which is eternal never had a beginning. He is the eternal God, Jehovah, manifested in flesh. All right, so let's go into the rapture message. Oh, but the other one is called my Father's house. I'll go and prepare a place for you, take you out of this pest house, and deliver you into my Father's house. See? Now, you can interpret that all the ways you want to, but what he's talking about is taking the predestination that was in God's mind and bringing it to pass. That's the basis of it. And so, the way God intended for you to live, and the way God intended for you to be, that's what he's going to bring to pass. That was what was in God's mind. It wasn't in God's mind eternally that you would be a sinner. It wasn't. Because if it was, he couldn't take and rip that page out and throw it in the sea of forgiveness. Take you out of this pest house and deliver you into my Father's house. Amen. There you are. Take you out of this old earthly pest house. He's gone to prepare a place, a perfect place, where no evil exists, no sickness exists, no old age exists, no death exists. It's a perfect place calling you to that perfection. That place, that predestination is calling you to that. And you have to be perfect to get there. And the only one that's perfect is God. So we have to be a part of God. The Bible said so. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a perfect kingdom. So it must be a perfect people come. Because you have to stand and be married to a perfect Son of God. And we know that that God's people in this day get married. Because Brother Branham taught us the invisible union, the marriage. And you must be a perfect bride. So how can you do it through anything else but the perfect word? And brother, if that don't say we got the perfect word, I don't know what does. If today is when the marriage is supposed to happen, and you're going to be married, and you have to be the perfect word, then we have to have it here. It has to have been taught to us. Which is the water, the perfect word is what? It's the waters of separation that washes us away from our sins. Amen. That's right. The blood of Jesus Christ, think of it, the dripping bloody word. Amen. Brother Branham said that's why this is so crucial for a minister when he gets in the pulpit to be willing to tell people what's wrong. Because he said what's wrong is the washing of the water of the word. That's what we need to know what's wrong. So that if we accept it and let the Holy Spirit tell us we're wrong, it washes us from that. Think of it. The dripping bloody word. Amen. The blood, the word of God, bleeding blood to wash the bride in. And if we don't have that, or if we let Satan make it some kind of misconstrued intellectual something to us, then what? Where have we? We're surely not going to be washed of anything when it takes the bloody word. The dripping bloody word of God to wash the bride. Yes, sir. She stands perfect, virgin,
unadulterated. Sons, sounds like that perfect word is here and it's been doing some washing. She never sinned in the first place. Amen. He washed it off now, and he's bringing forth that predestination unhindered. She was trapped into it, see? Was trapped into that sinful birth. There's the Father's house that he's gone to prepare. Amen. So let's go into God's provided place of worship. Let's find out what the Bible says now. We find in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, that the Bible says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We're baptized into the body of Christ by one Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us into this body. And what did we talk about a while ago? About that union. We're not shook in. We're not joined in. We're not baptized with the water in. We are baptized with the Holy Ghost into the body of Jesus Christ. And we were just talking about that dripping bloody word. That dripping bloody word that's life. And as that comes to us and it washes us, we accept it by the Holy Spirit. What does it start to do? It starts to take away all the sin. All the sin starts to go away. And then what happens? There's nothing left but predestination. And predestination starts to come to life. Now, we're going to read about that here in just a minute. Brother Ram said in the church ages, they were begotten, but this age is born. We are baptized with the Holy Ghost into the body of Jesus. How long does it last when you get in there? Until you misbehave yourself? Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Argue with him, not me. So in other words, you don't come back out once you're in. That's what it says. I'm reading it, all right? You're sealed until the day of your redemption, until the day that Jesus comes for you. Then think of it. You are not yourself. You're not yourself. You're not that sin-born creature no more that lives by wisdom all the time. We know what life that got us. You're not yourself. You are a new creature. And what Brother Ram say died? He said the soul died. He said that not your spirit died. It wasn't your body died. It was your soul that died. And so the soul is the new creature he's talking about. You are a new creature. For the Greek there means a new creation. A new creation. Born of that predestination now. Not just headed towards it anymore. We're born of it. You've been recreated again. We come into this world drawing our life through wisdom. Come in here speaking lies, like brother, the scripture says. But then when the washing of the water of the word starts to do its work upon us, then something else happens. We're headed to that recreation. And only in this day could you be born. All the other ages were begotten. So only in this age could this recreation come. And isn't it odd that this recreation, this birth, and not a begotten, it also comes right along at the same time he's talking about this invisible union. Isn't that something? Isn't that something that it seems to just all be at the same time? Talking about the rapture. Talking to be caught up into his word. You've been recreated again. The power of God comes upon you and you become created. What does it come upon? It don't come upon that old soul. It don't come upon your spirit. It don't come upon your body. What does it come upon? It comes upon that predestination. And it doesn't bring just a response from a little woman at the well that I perceive you are a prophet. It brings an entire life and another being into existence, which brings the whole physical being. See this, when you become created, a new creature, which brings the whole physical being, spiritual being, and everything in subject to the word of God, no other way. No other way. You're not subject to anything but God. So you come completely away from wisdom now. Wisdom has lost all of its allure to you. It's gone. You remember that story Brother Ram used to tell about the man? They went across that island and said there was these sirens that would sing on the island, and they would sing so beautifully that it caused the ships to go in and wreck. And then they pillaged the ships and stuff. And so he made all the guys who was running his boat plug up their ears so they couldn't hear it. And they made him tie him to the post so he couldn't get loose and couldn't steer the boat. And so they couldn't hear it, and he could, because he wanted to hear it. And he was screaming for all his might for them to turn that boat in because of that singing. It was so drawing him so in to it. You think about the world and how much power it had over us at one time. Think about it. And Brother Ram said they went past it. They ignored him because they had their ears plugged and they wouldn't listen. They went on past, and he was just spent, out of energy, trying to get loose to get to that island because of that singing. And he said, so he'd heard it. He'd heard that singing. He knew its draw. And when he went and he landed on this island that was over there, there was some singers that come in there from a faraway land or something. And while they were there, he said, they come in and they sung a song that was so much more beautiful and so much more powerful than that song on that island, that when they went past it, they said, do you want us to tie you up? He said, no, that has no effect on me anymore. You see that? It goes from wisdom ruling your life to faith ruling your life. How can you say you're a Christian and disobey his word in one thing? See, he's talking about that. See, you don't have that draw of wisdom anymore. Whosoever disobeyed the law in one part of it was guilty of all of it. Whoever, Jesus said, man shall not, whosoever, I'm sorry, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just part of the words. So we got to have them all in order to truly live. Not just part of the words, every word. That he said in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, whosoever shall take one word out of this book or add one word to it, his part will be taken out of the book of life. We are not to take away from the Bible or add to it, just say what it says. Because if we take one little bit away from it, it's not the dripping bloody word anymore. It's no effect. And we're no better than a denomination when we do that. It takes God to do that. You're not going to do it. That's why I put that, when I sent that code out the other day, I said I like to think of those as promises, not hurdles. Because they're promises that he gives us. They're not hurdles like Satan tries to sell them as hurdles. How in the world are you going to do that? I'll make sure you fail on that. Just nonsense all the time, but just listen to God. Don't listen to nothing else. And when you've been born again, your human reasoning, it starts to take a far, far back seat. Oh, glory. I got the anointing. Now, he's talking about, this is back in the rapture here. We hit a little bit on rapture. Now, we're coming back in a lower part of the rapture message. And he's talking about people, they would never say they're false Jesuses, but false Christ. No, they would never claim to be Jesus, he said, but Christ. But when it comes to, oh, glory, I got the anointing, and Christ means anointed one, oh, they'll do that, he said. And it's the genuine anointing. Remember, Caiaphas had it too and prophesied. So did Balaam have it and prophesied. But that don't have nothing to do with this inside. It has nothing to do with the soul. And if you read back up, you'll see what he's talking about on the inside. I didn't bring all that other. We may hit that later if y'all want to. But they don't, that don't have nothing to do with this inside. Unless that was God's seed, his gene from the beginning, predestinated. There's that word predestinated. There's that word seed and gene again. If it's that wasn't there and that wasn't what received this washing of the water of the word that brought it to life, then you're finished. I don't care how much you shout, speak with tongues, run and shout. There's nothing that has nothing to do with it. A cocoa burr can count just as much as any the rest of them. I've seen heathens raise and shout and speak in tongues and drink blood out of a human skull and call them the devil. So don't any of them sensations and things forget it. It's your heart in that word. That's what it is. It's your heart in that word, and that's Christ. That's the anointed one. Your heart in the word. Bring it, bring in there and watch it. Right? He's talking about the word. Bring that word in there, into that heart, and watch it make itself known. Just as it opens up like any other seed. Accept that word, that anointed word, and if that seed is in you, watch it open up and bring that life. Watch it take you away from that reasoning. Just as it opens up like any other seed and declares itself for the age it's living in. And we just read what the word in our age is going to declare. Luther could bring nothing but a sprig. These others could bring these other things. But we're in the wheat age now. Luther's genuine Luther's had to bring forth genuine Luther. Genuine Pentecost had to bring forth, had to bring genuine Pentecost. That's all. But we're past that age and going on. You know, the Catholic Church started out the Pentecostal. He's saying, did you hear what he's saying? The Catholic Church started out, they was Pentecostal. Because he said they claimed Peter as the rock. And if the Pentecost Church would stand 2,000 years, the one that's present today, he's talking about, it'd be in worse shape than what the Catholic is now. So he's saying, look over at the Catholic Church after 2,000 years, and if this one went 2,000, it'd be far worse. That's exactly. I say that to my brethren, my sisters, who I love. See, he's talking about a while ago, I didn't bring that quote, but he was talking about a minister not wanting to tell somebody the hard things. And if you won't tell them the hard things, that person can't be washed. And how crucial it is. And that may not be too, well, I got to skip something. And God knows that. But remember, friends, I got to meet you yonder at the judgment. And that might not be too long. I've got to bear record of what's the truth. See, he's got to be that washing of the water of the word. And if you got the seed of God in you and that seed is anointed, it's going to bring forth the word for this age. There's no way around it. It's got to happen. Just as much as Brother Branham said, if you had the life of Beethoven in you, you'd act like Beethoven. When I went forth into the meetings with you, praying for the sick, it was fine. But when I come with the message, if the message goes forth, it's a true message. If it's the true, genuine miracles of God. Now listen, he's talking about you hear a ministry. And it's the true, genuine miracles of God going on in this ministry. Healings, speaking in tongues, all these different things, prophesying. And it hangs right in that organization. You know it's not of God. Because that thing is already declared. In other words, that their judgment's already been pronounced on an organization. You can rest on that. Jesus went forth and healed the sick in order to catch their eyes, to make them be still long enough to be washed by the water of the word. He done that in order to catch their eyes, the people. Then his message, that's right, it has to have something that God is going to introduce. It can't be hanging in those same organizations. Like Brother Don, Brother Goomba, they've all hit on that. He just divine healing. His miracles like that just catch the eyes of the people. The main heart of it was the message. There's what is, what comes from in here. There's what is, what comes from in here. He's trying to get the favor of the people so they'll sit and listen to him, see? For there's some in there that's ordained to life. And they have to have that word. Some of the grain, wheat, fell on the ground and the birds picked it up. And others fell amongst thorns. And some went on prepared ground and fell on predestination. Prepared ground and brought forth. Amen. All right. Let's see. This is from the message. Christ is revealed in his own word. Now, this is talking about the eternal Son some more. We're just driving it home a little more. This is all the way over in to August of 65. As soon as the Catholic puts it, a son, as the Catholic puts it, eternal son, and call the rest and all the rest of the churches, the word don't even make sense. See? Now this point, it takes a revelation to see this point. But Brother Branham, like I said, there must be 20 different places he hits this. So God doesn't like it. God hates this thought, this religion, that this wisdom that man is trying to push on as God's truth. All the rest of the churches, the word don't make no sense, see? There cannot be eternal and then be a son. And we're trying to get you to see. Now he'll turn right around two paragraphs later and call us eternal sons of God, because there's a revelation. You have to know what he's saying. But he's telling you what isn't. The word don't make any sense. See, there cannot be eternal and then be a son. Because the son is something that's begotten from. And the word eternal, he cannot be an eternal. He stopped, dot, dot, dot. He can be a son, but he cannot be an eternal son. No, sir. It cannot be an eternal son. Now, but he is the son. So much that all the word that was in, see, he's saying the same thing he said back over in wisdom versus faith. He told you what isn't, and now he's telling you what is. Now, but he is the Son. He is the Son. So much that all the word that was in Jeremiah, in Moses, and all those words, like he said, they speak of me. All that true divine revelation of word was wound up into one human body. And God put flesh around it. That's the reason he was called Son. He was an expressed attribute of God. That's why he was called Son. He was called Son. Reason he refers Father. Why? It's just as simple. If you'll just let God pour it down into your mind, see? God revealed in a body of flesh, notice, revealed from flesh, or the word unto flesh, God in another form. That's, Brother Ram said that Jesus Christ was the absolute revelation of God. I'll bring that quote next time, maybe. He was the entire revelation, the entire Bible revealed right there. We talked about that at the last service. So you can look that quote up in that last set of quotes. That's St. John 1:14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right, so we're in this message. And knoweth it not. And this is a hard message. Boy, he really lays into the denominations. But now we're going down here and look at what he says about how we're made. Now, inside of that is a spirit, which you become when you're born in the earth. And the breath of life is breathed into you. That spirit is of a worldly nature, because it was not given by God. But, see, there's where the wisdom comes in. Right there. You're born and speaking Lies, born in iniquity, speaking lies. The spirit of the world, worldly nature, because it was not given from God, but it was given, permitted by God. Now, you got that? For every child that's born in the world is born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies. That's right. So that person inside there is a sinner to begin with. You, soul, spirit, body, the whole package is a sinner. Everything is wrong. Because the scripture plainly says, the soul that sinneth, it must surely die. So the person inside there is a sinner to begin with. But what did Brother Branham say? There was another William Branham down in there. The predestination. Now it's got five inlets. He's talking about the spirit. It's got five inlets. I don't know whether I can call them right off now. But the first now I know is thought, conscious, love, choice. And sometimes he says reasoning and different things. But he puts all that at the spirit level. That's where wisdom's at the spirit. That's where Brother Ram says you reason, is with your spirit. You don't reason with your soul. First, I know it's thought, conscious, love, choice. No, conscious, love, reason. There's five inlets to the spirit. He can't think of them all, but choice wasn't one of them. Catch that? No. Conscious, love, reason. There's five inlets into the spirit. You can't think with your body. You have to think with your spirit. You can't have consciousness in your body. It has no mental faculties at all. Your body doesn't. So you have to think with your spirit. You have to reason. You can't reason with your physical being because reasoning doesn't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Reason is what you can make in your mind. And if you're asleep or you're out, your body's laying there dead, but your spirit can still reason. There is five senses that control that inside man. Now, he's called the outside man a man. He's called the inside man a man. Now he's going to call the last, the soul, a man. Now to the last man. So there's three men, triune being, Brother Brown talks about. To the last man, which is the soul, there's only one sense that controls that, and that's free moral agency. Free will to choose or to reject. And now the reason that people today, don't forget this now, and you'll see what the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit is. People can live in this spirit, and they dance in the spirit, and they shout in the spirit. He's talking about this anointing on the spirit and what can happen. Dance in the spirit, they shout in the spirit, they go to church in the spirit, and they can absolutely have the real spirit of God anointed on that spirit, but still be lost and just as devil-possessed as they can be with that Christ anointed spirit.
Amen.
Brother Branham brought this, he said, because this was going to be poured out in the last days, and he did not want the bride to be confused when she saw it. Because she was going to see these ones that were teaching things that were wrong, having healings and having these different things and miracles happen. And he wanted you to know what the truth was, because God is going to take care of his bride. And in the beginning, Brother Branham said, whenever Satan comes in with his new thing, God has a standard he raises higher. Who knows what the standard is? You ever heard of a standard? In the army, when they were having battles, they had this flag that would be standing up. And that was like a rally point when the war was going on. And if you saw that flag start to go down, then that meant it wasn't good, because they paid special attention in the army to that standard. They want those standard and those colors up. And if it started to go down and it came back up, you could see the army go down and surge with it, because they had faith in what was taking place. And Brother Branham was saying, when he said those about having raising the standard, he said, whenever Satan comes in like a flood, God raises his standard higher so that people can see over it. They can see exactly what Satan's doing, and he rallies his people. God, in the beginning, God was not even God. He was the great eternal. And then there was attributes. And attributes was his thoughts. And then he become a word like this. And a word expressed. Well, a thought expressed is a word. A word expressed is a thought. Now, how many times have we read in the scripture that the word is eternal? How many times did Brother Rim say the word is eternal? And he told us how it was. Because it's the expression of something that's eternal. That means it didn't have a beginning. And then remember, if you ever was in God's thinking, you'll always be there. If you got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute of his thought for this age. If not, there's only one eternal life, and it's always existed, and you in his mind existed before there was a world. That's the reason he said he chose you before the foundation of the world. It isn't that we think what somebody else thinks. It's what God, eternal, you always was, see, in his thinking. It was in him to be man. It was in God Almighty to be man. And that desire to be a man, do you think you were in that? That's where you were. His desire to express himself as man, you were in that desire. That's the eternal part. And when he does that, when he does express us, that is that life happening. It's taking place. It's manifesting. It was in him to be man. That's the reason Christ was the expressed image. He was the expressed image of God, see? He has to be Father. He was to be Father. He was to be Son. He was to be Savior. He was to be Healer. There was nothing that wasn't even an angel or nothing. He was supposed to be all those things. And eternally, he always had them in his mind, but they weren't expressed, any of them. The angels or none of them. You think the angels are eternal? And none of them were expressed yet. He says God was alone, absolutely alone. He created angels when he became God. Then he became God. So if the angels were there somehow or another before that, he was God before that. But he wasn't. He was God when there was there something there to worship him. But those angels were always in him, the eternal ones, the ones that weren't going to turn against him. Then these are the manifestations of his thinking. There is nothing wrong. Everything is going to turn out all right. Don't be scared. God's big timepiece is ticking right along. It'll be there. It'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. You without a spot and a wrinkle is on God's schedule. It's going to happen. There's no way around it. Boy, if you can anchor your faith in that, it'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. It was in his thinking. That church without a spot or wrinkle was in his thinking, and he's going to have it expressed. The thing of it is, am I in there? Are you in there? And here he was, the eternal thought of God expressed into sonship. See, there was no eternal sonship. He was expressed into sonship. That's what it took for there to be sonship, an expression. Oh my, there was God Emmanuel then. That was God manifested as a son. There was God Emmanuel then. Notice, he was the Word. He was the Word. All right, I think we're going to finish up here in investments. And I think this is the one I mentioned earlier. Because Jesus wasn't just an ordinary man. Jesus was God. He was nothing short of God. Not just a prophet. Yet he was a prophet. He was the God prophet. He was the house in which all of God dwelt. In him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God coming down to become man to die. God could not die as a spirit because he could not die. He's eternal. And he could not die. So he had to change his form to die. But God could make himself in such a way that he could feel pain. He could make himself in such a way that he could feel pain. And he could feel and suffer. Remember, he said that he would have to pay. Brother Branham said he would have to pay. He couldn't send Billy Paul to do it. That's why I'm bringing this. And he could feel and suffer. God could not suffer as the eternal spirit. So he had to express himself as a son to suffer. But when he became man, he could suffer and feel the pain and the temptations that every man went through, like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and everyone since. He had to become that in order to fulfill his own law. This is the way, see, when Adam was back there in the beginning, that predestination in Adam was this. This was it. And Adam had to go down into the ground so that this one could come up and make the way that God was going to share life with man. It had to become, he had to become that. He thought of himself as a man. He had to become that in order to fulfill his own law, to take upon himself his own law. He could not have been the second person. He could not have been a Jake. He could not have been a Billy Paul, like we were talking about sons before. He could not have been a third person. He could have been nothing else but the person. See, he had to be. And if I had the jurisdiction, this congregation this morning, in the same measure that he has the earth, and I would say, if anyone looks at the post, he must die. So he's given his version of the law that God gave us. And this young Catholic woman sitting here would look at that post. Well, I'd say, after all, she is just a newcomer among this. Let her die the death. But yet, I feel sorry for the lady. I would say, then let this man here die in her place. He can't do that. Brother Branham made the law. That's what he's trying to tell us. God made the law. He couldn't let somebody else do it. If that don't speak to us as what we are, sons and daughters of God, it should go down deep, brother and sister. But yet, I feel sorry for the lady. I would say, then let this man here die in her place. No, that wouldn't be right. Well, I'd say, my son, Billy Paul, I'll let Billy Paul die in her place. That's still not just. Because the suffering is upon somebody else. And leaving me secluded from it. My, what a God we worship, brother and sister. But the only way that I can be just as God is just would be to take her place. I've got to take her place. Therefore, God had to be manifested in the flesh. That desire he had to be a son, to be a Messiah, had to take place so that he could bring and do this. In order to suffer death, the only way he could die, and through that, he brought redemption. Amen. I tell you what, you get in there sometimes and you just lose time. You look up and hours have gone by. And it's just the, you know, in the hour that we're living, the realer this can be to me, that's what I want. You know, I can't think of anything more that I want than that to be more and more real to me. And he's promised it to us, brother and sister. He's promised to make us that perfect thought he had in his mind of us. What he thought of us to be. It's hard to comprehend sometimes. You sit and think about that. To think, it's not just something we're talking about. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. This thing is not going to be getting old no more, and it won't be fat, and the hair won't be gone. It won't get sad several nights a week for no reason. It won't have to fight the flesh every time it comes time to preach. It won't have to do none of that. It won't have to sit around and worry about this one and worry about that one. Just, you know, surrender it to God. We're coming to this now. You know, it's the promise that we have now. That's what I meant by, you know, living below our privileges. Let's stand.